Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 11, all the stanzas. O Jehovah, hear my words, to my thoughts attentive be. Hear my cry, my King, my God. I will make my prayer to thee. All the stanzas of Psalter number 11.
Thank you. the portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon. You can find recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, and of the 21st chapter, Matthew 21, beginning by verse 23. But first we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 21, beginning by verse 23. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, By what authority dost thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if ye tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you, by what authority I do these things. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, Likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. And he went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They said unto him the first. Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to the husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants, and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, They will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, This is the heir, come, let us kill him, let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto another husbandman, which shall render him the fruits in their season. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we try once again to come before thee in this afternoon hour when we are gathered together. Shall also the publicans and the harlots go in before us, who have our religion and come before thee in thy house Sabbath after Sabbath? For thou knowest all that lives in our hearts by nature, that it is no true religion, but it is form and custom, a good way that we have been taught by our parents and that we have done all our lifetime. We have heard, O Lord, of an authority, and that thou thyself dost have, even in thy own temple, to cast out buyers and to cast out sellers, to cleanse thy house of prayer. And wilt thou give that we also may feel and experience something of thy power and something of thy authority to cast out all that is not belonging in thy house in this hour, and that thou may give to us something of what has been experienced. We can read it in thy holy word, when there was a whole multitude of people, impotent folk, we read, halt and withered and maimed, all lying about and waiting for the moving of the waters. And then thy power was felt. And then thou didst move the waters at a certain season. And then there were those who needed to be healed. O Lord, we ask of thee that thou may give such power in the midst of us that there may be those who come to thy house in such a way that there may be a feeling sense of our wretchedness, of our misery, of our sinfulness, and that there may be a true godly sorrow that is worked by thy Holy Spirit. We cannot give it unto us, O Lord. For we are of ourselves impotent, and we are by nature dead, and all things they come of faith, and faith is a gift of God. Oh, we beseech it of thee, and wilt thou grant it to young and old in this hour, that we may be raised up to a new life, and that our hearts may be stirred as thou didst stir the mulberry trees. Oh, that thou may give, and that in the midst of us thy spirit may go from pew to pew and from heart to heart, and that there may be a true weeping, a weeping of the heart because of our insensibility, because of our deadness, and because of our turning of our backs unto thee, the true and the living God, because we do not feel our sin as we ought to feel it. Oh, that our eyes may go open, and that we may see, and that we may mourn, and that we may be brought as a blind one by thy hand, led in a path that we did not know before. Oh, that thou may bring us, Lord, from that wide gate and from that broad way, and that thou would bring us through that straight gate and lead us on that narrow way that leadeth unto life. Thou declarest it in thy holy word. It is thy own work. Do it, Lord, for thy great and for thy holy name's sake, in order that thou mayst receive all the honor and all the glory as thou wilt in the life of each and every one of thy true church. Thou didst call thy people. Thou didst say, go into the highways and into the hedges and call the poor and the blind and the halt and the lame, for there is room in my house. O Lord, wilt thou give that saving calling to go forth even in the midst of us unto such, in the midst of us also in this day, and that thou may give that thy house may be full and that thy name may be glorified. And look upon each and every one as we journey that short journey between the cradle and the grave, between our birth and our death, between the giving of our life and the end of our life. And then we shall appear before thee, for it is a life that shall never end, not world without end. O Lord, remember us and cause our hearts to be concerned and take away our carelessness, that the things of this world may lose their importance and their value in our sight, and that that treasure that may be in heaven, and that where thou dost sit at the right hand of thy Father, wilt thou feed thy people. Wilt thou give to them a little encouragement upon the way, because there is in us dwelling no good thing. And then thou dost so often hide thyself, so that it is even as thy servant did say, he standeth behind our wall. O Lord, wilt thou come in the life of thy children, and wilt thou give a little springtime? Oh, give a little, that a thawing of that hard heart, and a little bit of that sun that may melt that heart again, that true sorrow may be felt once more, and that the need for thee and the need for thy blood, that a broken body and that poured out blood, and may be felt more each and every day. Oh, that thou may be unto us as one who is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. For that is to thy honor. Wilt thou keep us from self-deception? For we are those who by nature would take that which does not belong unto us. Oh, it is a gift of thee. Wilt thou teach it unto us, each and every one, that there would be not one left behind on that great day when thou dost gather and that thou dost separate the sheep from the goats, O Lord, that we would not have to see one another in such a way that we are separated from one another and that we are separated from thee in that great day. Oh, that we may seek with all our heart and all our strength and all our soul. Wilt thou give it by thy Spirit? Remember those who are afflicted. For thou knowest all the congregation and all of the needs, even though we may not know them. Those that have messages, a serious disease, Lord, thou knowest, oh, that thou may be on the right and on the left, and may thou bless the efforts that are put forth by doctors. Child, also give healing, O Lord, to that little girl, that she may receive once again what she had before, and that there may be no lasting consequences. And oh, do teach us all together, also our children and our youth, that our life that can be so quickly cut off. Another relative taken to the hospital, Lord, thou knowest also, wilt thou supply and wilt thou protect, be with those that recover from sicknesses, from operations, and wilt thou give in the midst of us health and strength and prosperity. Wilt thou look upon our children and upon our youth. Oh, give to them hearts, tender hearts, that fear thy name while they are still young, that they may see the deceit of the devil in all that he does offer to them in this world, in this short time we have here in this world, and that they may be given above all the desires that may be after the things of this world, that they may be given to see that there is a blessed treasure in thy holy word, that they may desire that wisdom that thy servant Solomon did desire also in his youth. Wilt thou supply for all that have become old, the gray-headed, when the weaknesses are felt more and more, and when the end of life that is seen and felt to be coming, when the thoughts are more and more going into the future, O Lord, that thou may remember them, and wilt thou prepare them for that great meeting with thee, and wilt thou give that the end of life, that it may yet be the sweetest part, that it may be yet the best part. Then they have to say that the older the colder, but thou art able to make it so different, Lord. Oh, that thou may give when the hair has become gray, that the knees, when they have become stiff, and that heart, oh, that heart may yet become young again, and that it may be given to weep out before thee at life, that they must say it was all without thee. It was all carnal. It was all for this world. And now I am not worthy anymore. And that thou shouldest look upon me when I would give but the last few days unto thee. O Lord, we are undeserving, each and every one of us. But there are so many voices that can come also in the hearts of those that have become old, that it is now impossible for you. O Lord, it is true. We have wasted all our living with riotous living. But oh, that thou may give them to come, even as that prodigal, in a way of a true repentance, and that they may experience that the Father, he is looking for them, and that he is coming yet to give such a one who has given all his life to the devil, and that he is yet here standing
with open arms to receive them again. Lord, wilt thou remember them and all those that are despondent, for thou knowest how that the devil would keep them away from thee. O Lord, thou art able to break his power, and thou art able to give a broken and a contrite a heart and spirit, which thou wilt not despise. Wilt thou look upon us in this hour? We also do not deserve the least of thy notice or attention, for thou knowest all our transgressions. But Lord, we beseech thee for a little help from above. It cannot be for our sake, but may it be for the sake of thy own tribe and church that may be in the midst of us, and that thou wouldst give us yet a word in due season to speak, and that thou wouldst give instruction in the midst of us as a congregation. Oh, keep us with thy truth, and give us to experience it in our hearts, and wilt thou give that thy name may be receiving all the honor and the glory. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 64 all the stanzas. Lord, I lift my soul to thee. O my God, I trust thy might. Let not foes exult o'er me. Shame me not before their sight. And what follows, the last collection today, is for the Bethesda Care Home, Psalter 64, all the stanzas. Thank you.
beloved congregation, we read in Psalm 92, "How great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep." The greatness of the works of God, they are making manifest the depth of his thoughts. Scientists of all the ages of the world, they have tried to explain the works of God. And they have never come to penetrate them. Engineers, they have never been able fully to copy those works of God which they desire to copy. The philosophers of this world, they have never been able to penetrate into the depths of the thoughts of God. Just a few of those thoughts, a little portion of those thoughts, have been made known unto the world in the Word of God. And yet they remain hidden from the wise and the prudent of this world. Do you ever feel something of this? The preciousness of the truth of the Word of God, the treasures that are hidden in the Word of God, the wisdom, young people, that is to be had through the Word of God. Because we read in that word that it is revealed unto babes. And those babes, they are made to marvel at his works. Thy thoughts are very deep. And they are made to rejoice in those works, even like those babes. They have cried out, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And something of this we wish, with the Lord's help, to consider with you this afternoon out of the words of our text, which you can find in the before-read chapter, Matthew 21, and thereof the 42nd verse. Matthew 21, verse 42. Jesus saith unto them, "Did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." So far the words of our text. The stone rejected becomes the head of the corner. First, this stone rejected, and second, this rejected stone made the head of the corner. The stone rejected becomes the head of the corner. First, this stone rejected, and second, this rejected stone made the head of the corner. Did ye never read in the scriptures? Who says that? That is the Lord Jesus. We read, "Jesus saith unto them." Thus the Lord Jesus, he is speaking unto, here we can read, the chief priests and the scribes. They are coming to him here, we read, to question his authority. The Lord Jesus, he has ridden into Jerusalem upon a colt, the foal of an ass, according to the prophecy. And he has gone into the temple of the Lord, and there he has cast out those that have bought and sold. There he has cleansed his father's house that is the house of prayer. And these chief priests and these Pharisees, they are offended. And they are asking him who gave to him the authority. They had the authority. They believed in the house of God. Who then gave him this authority to come into the house of God and to do these things? The Lord Jesus also asks them a question. And we read that they will not give to him an answer except that they should expose themselves unto the people as hypocrites. And then we can read that the Lord Jesus speaks unto them these two parables as we have heard. And what do we read? We read the chief priests and the Pharisees perceived that he spake of them. And Luke, he writes that they say to the Lord Jesus, God forbid. That is, God forbid that we should do this thing. God forbid that we should reject the Messiah who was sent unto us as a nation. But the Lord Jesus says, did ye never read in the scriptures? Thus he says, it was prophesied already long ago that you would do it and that you actually will do it. Who was so well acquainted with the scriptures as these Pharisees and scribes, as these Jewish rulers. And yet the Lord Jesus, he asks them if there is a part of the Bible that they have never read. What do you think, children? Do you think they never read it? I don't think so. Because indeed they had read all of those scriptures. They were men who were of the scriptures. And they were well acquainted with the scriptures. But do you know what the prophet says about them? He says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Whose heart? Say, the heart of the chief priests, the heart of the Pharisees, the heart of the scribes, deceitful above all things. Yes, and also my heart, and also your heart. We read the Bible. But then the Lord Jesus, he asked, is there now a part that you have never read? Is there now a part that you would rather just skip over? Is there sometimes a part of that holy word that comes to speak to you? Is there sometimes a part that you say, I would rather not that it was written here in that word of God? That the Lord Jesus must say also to us, did ye never read the scriptures? A part maybe that points out our sin. A part that maybe says that you are not walking in the way of the Lord. Prophecies of the coming of the Messiah, they were very clear to the Jewish people. That was the hope of the Jewish nation. They were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, but they were ignorant of the Messiah. They were ignorant about the character of the Messiah. They were ignorant about the character of that true kingdom of God. That is, they were ignorant of his humiliation. They were ignorant of his meekness. They were ignorant of the spiritual nature of his kingdom. That is not because it was not in the Bible. That is not because it was not in the Old Testament. It is not because that they have never read about this character of the Messiah. That they have never read Isaiah when he said he would be a man of sorrows. He would be acquainted with grief. And that we hid, as it were, our faces from him. That he should be despised. That he should be rejected of men. It is not as if they never read it. But it is that they have rejected it. Why? Because it was not to their liking. And it is not to our liking. That they should have such a Messiah, that they should have such a king. No, our heart that wants something different, that is looking for something different in this world, no different with our heart than it was with the heart of these rulers. Thus the Pharisees, they said, God forbid. We would never reject the Messiah. But Christ, he proves it to them. He says, look in the Bible. Did ye never read in the scriptures, he says, the stone in which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? That portion, that is a portion that the Lord Jesus is quoting from Psalm 118. They are the words of David. No more, they are the words of the Lord. They are the words of David by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that was given unto David so many years already before that the Lord Jesus came into this world. And then he speaks there about builders. That is, builders with, he says, stones. Thus we would say, children, a mason. One who is taking stones, and he is gathering those stones together, and he has to pick, he has to choose what stones he is going to use to make that building. He wants it to be a beautiful building. So he will take only the nicest stones, the nicest looking ones, the precious ones, so that that building will appear to all men in the greatness of its glory. You see them, they take a stone, a builder, a mason, as he is choosing, and then he takes a stone, and he says, that stone, we set that there aside. We put that on the heap because, well, it is no good. It is not square. It is defaced. It will do nothing but mar the beauty of our building. Thus is his little likeness. He compares the building of a temple or the building of another building, he compares that to the building of God's church. So we have heard something of this, how that Christ, he is building his church. And then he speaks here about builders. Who are those builders? You say God himself is the builder. That is right. He is building his church. But where is the Lord, children? He is not on the earth anymore. He is in heaven. And when he is in heaven, then how does he build his church? Well, then he has as office bearers. He raises up office bearers, ministers, elders, and deacons, office bearers in his church that they may do the work of the church, the work of the Lord here upon the earth. Did you ever maybe have in your heart, in your little young heart, a desire to be an office bearer? You know what it says in the Bible? That he who desires the work of a bishop desires a good work. Maybe you have that in your young heart, boys and girls. That is even possible that a girl would say she has a desire to do that work. That is not possible. But it is possible in your heart. Because you say, if there is anything in the whole world that I like to be involved in, that is has to do with that house of God. Well, it is the Lord, boys, who must call you to the work of the ministry. That is not something you can just do on your own, no. Then you must ask the Lord to give to you a new heart when you are young already. Builders. And so the Lord, he is speaking here in his word about these builders. The Apostle Paul, he says, we are laborers with God. That is, in the stead of God here upon the earth. Did the Pharisees, did they know something about these builders being the laborers with God? Oh, they certainly did. You say, how do we know that? Well, these Pharisees, we read that they perceived that the Lord Jesus, he had spoken this word against them. Thus, they perceived that it was a rebuke to the builders. It was a rebuke unto those who were the leaders within the church. What do we do when we are rebuked in our heart by the word? Do we do the same thing as these Pharisees and these scribes? It is a wonder if we may be given to bow before the Lord and to humble ourselves under the rebukes of the Lord out of his holy word. The stone which the builders rejected, thus the rejection of Christ that is now at the heart of his suffering, that is at the heart of his crucifixion, that is actually the cause wherefore the Lord Jesus was nailed unto the cross. Rejection that lived in the heart of his enemies. Do you know, boys and girls, maybe in school, do you know a boy or a girl who is rejected by everyone else? What do? When you see that they are rejected, when you see that nobody wants to play with them, do you say, come with me? Do you say, I will play with you? Do you invite them into your group? Do you know how much suffering that there is in this world because of rejection? Are you rejected, boys and girls, young people? Do you also suffer in this way? Are there those of you who sometimes go to your bed at night and cry your heart out all alone? What must you do? You must pick up the Word of God. And you must read that Word of God, because there you will find that the Lord Jesus himself was also rejected. We read in the Bible that we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Thus there was in his heart an acceptance also of that suffering of rejection. It is not the worst to be rejected by men. It is more to be rejected by the Lord. Christ, he himself had to cry out later on that cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Thus, forsaken of his own Father, not in truth, but in the feeling sense of it. And thus we may know something, how terrible a suffering that rejection, that a forsaking actually is. When the Son of Man himself in his blessed humanity has cried out from under this suffering, the stone which the builders rejected, thus they set him aside. They regarded him just as useless. They said that he is not fit for this building. They will cast him away with the rest of the refuse, that is, Christ himself. The builders, they did not see his beauty. They regarded his lowliness. They regarded his humility. They regarded his self-denial. They regarded all of this as infirmity. They regarded all of this as weakness. They regarded all this as frailty. They groveled in the dust in order to look for beauty. They looked for carnal glory, that they may see beauty. They looked for earthly greatness, that they may see beauty. But they could not see any beauty in the Son of Man. Here was a man, he was of no use for them. In their building, the building of their kingdom, what they thought was the kingdom of God. No, that building would not receive honor from such a man. They received no honor from him. Just the opposite, because he has overturned all of their religion. The stone which the builders rejected, therefore they have rejected him. That is, congregation, not only something that has taken place so many years ago, but here is now something that is taking place also in our days. Builders, those who are supposed to be building the temple of the Lord, that is supposed to be building the kingdom of the Lord, the church of the Lord here below. And they reject him. They reject his divinity. And if we reject his divinity, we reject him. Because a mere man is not who he is. Thus, when the builders will say he is not actually God, that is because they see no beauty in the power that is necessary for their own redemption. Because it takes away our own power. It takes away our own glory. Oh, they reject his atonement, his vicarious sacrifice, that is actually standing in the place of a sinner. They reject it. Why? Because it is humiliating unto man. As if we are not ourselves able to have a part. They reject his spirit, the need for that spirit in true regeneration. They reject the need for that spirit in the working of faith and in the exercises of faith. Then it is man himself that is able to perform all these things, and all of this is nothing less than a rejection of Christ, who he is. The stone which the builders rejected. There is so much speaking, there is so much preaching of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in our world. And at the same time, a rejection of him, a speaking of him that is not honorable unto him, because man wants to retain his own honor. You know, the devil can speak of him too. We read in the Bible that the devils, they said, "We know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And the Lord Jesus was not pleased, but he rebuked the devil, that he would come out of that man. And thus, when there is such a speaking, when there is such a preaching of the name of Jesus, then it is nothing less, although it may seem outwardly that there is an honoring of him, it is actually just the opposite. It is nothing else than a rejection of this stone. Then man wants to proclaim a helper. They say that Christ is an helper of whom? You tell me, children. You are just children, and you can say it already, I think. They will say that Christ, he is a helper of everyone. Is that so? That is, he is a helper also of those who do not need any help. What does it say in the Bible? He hears the needy when they cry. He saves their souls when death draws nigh. That is, it is a rejection. The stone which the builders rejected, a rejection of that stone to proclaim him in a way that he is not, as if he is a savior of those who are not lost. Where do you read that in the Bible? It is a rejection of that stone to proclaim him as calling the righteous. Why? Because what did he say? He says, "I am not come to call the righteous." But he says, "I am come to call sinners to repentance." That is now the reason that the chief priests and the elders, they are offended. Why? They were excluded. Today we will exclude no one. We will be friendly with everyone. That is good. But we say that Christ dies for everyone. That is bad. That is evil, because it is false. The Pharisees are offended because they are excluded. And man is today offended when he is excluded. We need exclude no one. No, the Bible itself that is including and that is excluding. You say the Lord Jesus, he received everyone that came to him. Is that so? It is not. I read in the Bible of a man that came to the Lord Jesus and the Lord Jesus sent him away. You know that man, boys and girls? Sent him away. Why? Because that man needed nothing. What needed he the Lord Jesus for then? That man came to serve the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus came to serve his people. The Lord Jesus, he sent that man away. He says, go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Go now and sell everything that thou hast. And come. Take up your cross and follow me. No, a man is not rejected by the Lord. When he is coming in that way, that the Lord, he invites men to come to him. What way is that? That is the way of repentance. That is the way of sorrow. That is the way of turning. Does he say then, you must have completely repented? No. Does he say you must have forsaken all your iniquity? No. Does he say you must have made yourself a perfect man? No. But he says the way in which you come, that must be a way of repentance. Otherwise, there is nothing to receive from me. The stone which the builders rejected. Let us sing. 415, stanzas 3 and 4. Call to mind, O Lord Jehovah, tender mercies manifold, and thy store of loving kindness, which has ever been of old. 3 and 4 of 415.
Thank you.
Did ye never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. A Jewish nation, they have rejected their king. That was by the instigation of their very rulers. That was the builders of the church. But it was not outside of the marvelous doings. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. That is now going to be when the Lord is working with his providence, even through sin, going to be the marvel of the true church that will begin here in the time, and it will last forever. It is a marvel, it is marvelous in our eyes. That rejection of Christ, that was now the very means in the hands of the Lord, that he may become the head of the corner. Who can fathom the depth of his thoughts? Who can fathom the greatness of his works? Because it is now by this rejection that he was nailed upon that tree. It is now by this rejection that he has paid a price so full that there is nothing more to be paid by a debt-ridden sinner. It is now by this very rejection that the justice of God that has been satisfied for a guilty church, to release them from their bonds and to give to them an eternal liberty. It is marvelous in our eyes. And that is now not only in an objective way, but he must be made for us, that head of the corner, also in a subjective way. We can condemn the Pharisees, we can condemn the scribes, the rulers, but you know, those rulers, they live within our own hearts. Do you ever find them there? Because by nature, we are filled with nothing but enmity. We are filled with nothing but self-righteousness, enmity against Christ. What do you say in your heart? God forbid? Say, that cannot be. I do not have enmity in my heart against the Lord Jesus Christ. But it remains true that he is a stone that is rejected also by us. And now that marvelous work of the Spirit of the Lord, a marvelous work to make that stone that is despised by us, to make him the head, we read, of the corner, that is the chief stone in that building. The entire church that is built upon this foundation, that cornerstone, that is now the unifying stone for that whole church. That whole church that is looking to, it is around that one stone, that one name given under heaven among men, that is through all the ages of the world, that is in every nation of the world, that one stone, that one name. When that one name, as he truly is, when he is missing, then that whole structure of the church that comes tumbling down. And now that name, he is becoming increasingly in the life, in the heart of his own people. the longer that they live, the more that he is becoming that chief cornerstone. Why? Because the longer that they live, the more knowledge that the Lord is giving of themselves. The more that they see of themselves, the deeper that the Lord is leading them into their own wretchedness, into their own sin, into their own pollution, the more that the Lord is making him to be beloved. The Lord is making his people glad with this stone, so that they will say with Solomon, he is the chiefest among 10,000. He is not this chief cornerstone by nature. He is not this same head of the corner by education. He does not become this head of the corner by religious confession. And actually, he does not even become that head of a corner yet, alone, by true regeneration. Christ, he is not the first object of faith. Cannot be. How can that be? No, faith, when it begins to believe, it begins to believe in God. When faith begins to believe, it begins to believe his word. When faith begins to believe, it begins to believe my own misery. Where do we go for that knowledge? Where do we get that knowledge from? There are people, they say you must go to the cross. You must go to the cross because that is where now the knowledge of sin really comes from. Is that so? Then we have to throw out our catechism. Why? Whence knowest thou thy misery? Out of the law of God. That is why we read the catechism over and over and over again. Young people, listen carefully to the catechism. Say, but if the catechism is not right, then we have to throw it out. Then you are right. If it is not right, but it is right. It is right. How do we know? Because it is based on the holy word of God. What does Paul say so clear? By the law is the knowledge of sin. That is not clear. What is clear? I had not known lust, he says, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. He said, I was alive without the law once. And then the commandment came, and sin revived, and I died. The law, by the law, is the knowledge of sin. And it is only by the knowledge of sin that a man will ever have a need in his heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. That Savior can never become precious to me if I have no need for his saving work. Then I come to him as that rich young ruler. Horatius Bonar, he says that the kind of repentance that the law works is only in your conscience. But that means that the kind of repentance that Paul is speaking about when he says by the law is the knowledge of sin, is not the godly sorrow. And when he speaks about the law coming in his life, then he says that is not the godly sorrow. Oh, we do not deny and that cross in the life of God's children is ever deepening, if ever they may see how deep that sin has grieved the Lord, then indeed they may see it at that cross. But there can be no need for that cross without that repentance coming beforehand. And that law has to be, even when in Pentecost, then Peter is preaching and he says that they have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And they say, well, see, then it was the cross. Wait a moment. He says, you have killed. What is that? That is the law. Thus, we cannot mix the law and the gospel, no. That is now, young people, the confusion that we have. The confusion that we have in our days. That man, he wants to be included without ever having the least conviction of sin. He wants to be included and he wants to be a child of God and still wants to go all his way in this world in the paths of sin. He wants to join them all together, but the Lord Jesus, he says, you cannot serve God and mammon. It is not true. That is not the Lord Jesus Christ. That is nothing but a rejection of this stone. And in the heart of that people, that stone, he has never become for them the head of the corner. Oh, there is a people by that true fear of the Lord, by true regeneration, they actually become like the Pharisees. They said to that man born blind, they said to him, you are Moses' disciple. They said, you are Christ's disciple. We are Moses' disciple. There is a sense in which that people, by true regeneration, they become Moses' disciples. They are disciples of that law. What is it? Actually, it is still rejection. Oh, they do not do that purposely. They love the Lord, but they do not know the Son. That Son is never revealed yet to them. It is love for the Lord that is giving to them a true sorrow before that they know of mercy, before that they know of grace. Is that not possible? Certainly that is possible. That a person before that he realizes that there may be mercy for him, that he may repent of his sin, that he may be sorrowful, even that if he has to be cut off and go lost forever and forever, that is now the work of the Lord. Oh, that true church that is learning something. That is learning something by bitter experience. How deep that fall is. And now they have to learn that outside of him, there is no salvation. It is impossible. Not with all my religion. Not with all my good works. Not with all my righteousness. Oh, did you ever come there? Outside of him, there is no justification. Outside of him, there is no forgiveness.
Enter not into judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified. And outside of him there is no sanctification either. Why not? Because in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. Oh, did you ever experience that? Did you ever feel that in your life? There dwelleth no good thing. That's God's people. Says that just before regeneration, they say it gets worse. No good thing. And now, that stone. He becomes the head of the corner. It is now a church that has to learn to rest upon him, to lean upon him. Why? Because they have no other resting place. Because outside of him, there is nowhere else to go. And therefore, he becomes the foundation for that people. So often he is hidden. And when he is hidden, ask the people, when he is hidden, then they feel they have no foundation under their feet. Nothing. And they can even be sleeping. But when the Lord, he is coming to wake them up, then they are looking again. Where is now that foundation that is under my feet? And that is proof that they have felt something of it, that they have seen something of it. Oh, that stone, he becomes the head of the corner that will be in the heart of every one of that true church. That is now what will join that church all together through all the ages of the world, through all the nations of the world. Then they will learn. They will learn that there is no other stone, that there is no other foundation. O congregation, do you ever say, as we sing it sometimes, whom have I, Lord, in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee? You say that to boys and girls sometimes. But in the house of God, and your heart ever burn with desire after the Lord, you say, whom have I in heaven but thee? Then it is good to sing. Now it is possible that we say that out of a true contrite heart, by a true regeneration that is of the Lord himself. But we need to learn by the Spirit of the Lord to say that also of his Son, that he may be revealed to us and that he may become in our life the head of the corner. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, do forgive all of our many sins. For thou knowest that we reject thee also. O, we are so cold to thee, and we have no need for thee. And thou hast no form, thou hast no comeliness, despised, rejected of us also. Lord, forgive all our iniquity, but wilt thou come and make thyself to be the head of the corner for both young and old. Oh, that we also may be placed upon that one foundation. Then we can live, then we can die. Glorify thyself, forgive all our sins, bring us safely to our places, help us in the week to come, each one in our place in this world, the children at school, and wilt thou keep watch over and protect over dangerous ways, give them love for one another, our instructors strength and patience also before our children. And wilt thou help each one in our labors, in our homes, and also in the work each day. O Lord, keep us on every side from danger, from accident, from evil, and from sin. And wilt thou give thought and meditation
amidst all the work of our hands upon thy blessed truth, and wilt thou make all thy works to be the marvel of our hearts, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 318, 2, 3, 5, and 7. This is thy temple gate, O Lord. The just shall enter there. My Savior, I will give thee thanks, O thou that hearest prayer. 2, 3, 5, and 7 of 318. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.